under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM. The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We always look forward to your input, what your thoughts are, and how you respond to what is being said. We're talking about an unusual mixture today. Mother's Day, a new pope, and false teachers. Perhaps you ask the question, how does that integrate? You'll hear in a moment. As you continue to join the broadcast, we're thankful that you've joined. And ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And after a brief monologue, we'll open the telephone lines, invite you to call in, join the discussion on the issues today. It's kind of a trilogy of issues, but they have a good linkage, if you please, in what we're saying to you about that subject. Since 1914, listen, since 1914, America has had the privilege of celebrating Mother's Day, a special day out of each year when we recognize mothers. Think about it. Today's culture of wokeism, political correctism, exhibits very little respect for women, especially for mothers. We even have Supreme Court justice that says that she's not a biologist and therefore she does not know how to describe or give a definition of a woman. I find it absolutely hilarious, if it weren't so sad, to have somebody seated on the bench to adjudicate cases that cannot tell you what a woman is. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Mother's Day this Sunday, we look forward to, in fact, we'll open, and when we open the telephone lines, we'd love to have you call in, share with our listeners what your mother means to you. Is there something special in your memory in relationship to what mother has done, how she's affected your life, good, bad, or indifferent? We'd love to talk about it today, but let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, if you forget everything else, hang on to that nugget. The word of God, thy word is truth. Not partial truth, some truth, or maybe truth, but it is the truth. If you please, just as the used to be, you're sworn in as a witness in a court of law. You swear to tell the whole truth, the truth, the truth, and nothing but the truth, the whole truth, etc., etc. In that realm where you're swearing to tell the truth, ladies and gentlemen, ought not to need a swearing in for an individual to tell the truth. We need to stand on the truth of the word of God. But let's face it, just as the dystopian novelist George Orwell, the secularist, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place today. There's a disdain for truth. If you don't believe it, ask Representative Crockett. If you don't believe that, ask Representatives AOC and Nancy Pelosi and others today that reject the truth, want to bifurcate, bend, and destroy, undermine, and tear down the truth. And that ought not to be found in civil government. We call it politics today. Ought not to be found in any realm of life. It should not be found in the society in which we're living in, but yet it's very, very real. In fact, it is one of the major issues that divide us as a nation, as a people. It is the truth tellers that you find so few of. In fact, the headline I'm looking at says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Listen, if there's no absolute truth, where do you turn to know which direction to go in? If there's no absolute truth, then, ladies and gentlemen, in any court of law, there will be no fundamental foundational values on which to adjudicate whether somebody has done something right or wrong. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that is the infallible, absolute truth without any change whatsoever. And this article about the younger Americans said there's no absolute truth. 55% of that age group, the millennials, say that each person determines their own version of truth. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I like to quote so often parts of what the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said. And DeMint said in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. That's disdainful. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge every day on this broadcast. May I suggest to you that the, if you please, the form of life that we ought to live, the mandate for living, according to the Word of God, is to seek the truth, listen to it, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it, even in the face of death. And we're nearing that position today. In fact, if you don't believe it, just see what's happening in the Beltway in Washington. Those that tell the truth, they want to assassinate. Those that tell the truth are called Hitler. Those that tell the truth are called demons and a destruction of our democracy, etc., etc., etc. We need to stand on the truth. And the only truth book that we can find any place on the face of the globe is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The truth of God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And most of all, listen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Where can I go to locate it? It's located at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me in the studio today Dr. Glenn Davis. Dr. Davis has been sharing the microphone with us for less than 100 years now, and I'm thankful that he's here joining us today on this subject. Dr. Davis, thank you for coming and joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and I thank God for the opportunity to be here on today. And I do want to say happy Mother's Day, amen, and good morning to my bride, amen, of 39 years, amen. And also, amen, Dr. Dorothy, happy Mother's Day to you, amen, and all the wonderful mothers that are out there on today. And I want to tell the young people something, especially because my mother has been gone to be with the Lord now for about 21 years. Mm-hmm. If you have a mother on today, go and salute her, kiss her, amen, hug and embrace her, and tell her how much you love and appreciate her on today. Because once mother is no longer here, let me tell you something. the journey gets to be tough.
Yes.
But I thank God, amen, on today for the various, amen, mothers that I can still call a mother on today.
Amen.
Amen, in the church. Amen. I got Caucasian mothers.
Amen.
Amen. I've got Hawaiian mothers. Amen. I've got, you know, I'm just so blessed. Amen.
Amen.
So I thank God, amen. He's not left us yet.
That's right.
Without a great mother. As long as we have the senior ladies that live in society on today, amen, we can attach ourselves to them through the love of God, amen, and embrace them like we would our own mothers. Amen.
Amen. And Dr. Davis, one of the things I'd like for us to do for this segment of the broadcast, because we'll make some transitions during this broadcast, because we're talking about Mother's Day, a new pope, and false teachers. And you'll see the thread as we go through this broadcast today. We're delighted that you've joined us. That telephone is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you have a brief testimony you'd like to share with us in this segment about mother, your mother, what you recall about your mother. As Dr. Davis said a moment ago, my mother's been with the Lord for almost 50 years. And I am thankful that as we were growing up in the home, my dad had passed away at an early age. My mother had the responsibility of working to take care of and put food, clothing, and shelter available for us, for the four children at home. And I'm thankful that God gave her the strength, the, if you please, the tenacity to keep on keeping on. But it was all based on her faith and trust in the Lord, and the realization and recognition that with no dad at home, she had the sole responsibility of taking care of us. So I'm thankful for that. But ladies and gentlemen, today, motherhood is mocked. Motherhood is laughed at. Motherhood is demeaned. And social justice and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, along with the Biden administration's push for transgenderism and the butchering of healthy body parts, has brought about a multitude of our younger generation today that will never be able to reproduce. So, Dr. Davis, we'll never know the impact that the Biden administration had with the transgenderism and the butchering of healthy body parts. We'll never know the real impact in the reduction of the population in America and the families that will not be able to reproduce as a result of the transgenderism. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, and I have to do this as a little parenthetical footnote on that statement. Through transgenderism, the male or the female, neither will ever be able to reproduce as a result of the butchering, the barbaric butchering of their physical bodies that was promulgated, pushed, bought, and paid for America, and pushed and published and carried out around the globe through the Joe Biden administration. And I'm thankful that with President Donald J. Trump, he's put an end to it. In fact, that perhaps you've not heard, but the Supreme Court said yes to the push with President Trump to remove the transgenderism from the military forces. President Trump's position, if you're going through the medical care, if you're going through the health care and the medicines and the health care that's necessary to keep one surviving after the barbaric butchering of the body, they're not war ready. They're not military ready, and therefore they cannot be in the military forces. I'm thankful for that. That is a major, major step forward with the protection of our military forces and the safety of America. But ladies and gentlemen, we look to God's Word as we do so. Ask the question, Dr. Davis, biblically speaking, what does the Scripture say about a mother, especially a godly mother? What do we find in the Scripture? How should we identify a God? What is the difference between just a mother, a woman producing a child? She's a mother. But what about a biblical mother? What is the difference between a mother and motherhood in general and what you and I would call a biblical mother? Speak to that for a moment.
Well, if we would go to the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, they speak to the in the biblical respect about what a biblical mother should look like. Now, like you said, there are many out there that are bearing children. Yes, they are mothers because they have brought children into the world.
Yes.
But many of them throw their children away. Sometimes they abandon the children and give them up for adoption. But when we look at the biblical blueprint for a biblical mother, the biblical definition comes from the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, where it says, let's go back up to 3 first. The aged women, likewise. Now, when you look at women, it always refers to the female, the female gender. There's nothing in between for that. So there's no such a thing as a man calling himself a wife and the other calling himself a husband, because when you look at Christ, Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride of Christ.
Right. And by the way, you're saying that you can take a man and you can shave him, put a wig on, put lipstick on, and a skirt, and he's still a man.
That's right. Amen.
That does not change the gender of the individual as it's being promulgated in society today.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen. But he says here, Titus 2 and 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. B-E-C-O-M-E-T-H. That means this has to be on a progressive basis. It's supposed to be ongoing, a continuous lifestyle of holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. See, this is what a godly mother does. My mother taught us good things.
That's right.
Taught us how to tell the difference between good and evil. Taught us how to make sound decisions on who were really our friends and who were not. This is what a good biblical mother would do. That they may teach the young women, number four, to be sober, to love their husbands, not someone else's husband, but to love their own husbands, to love their children, not other people's children. And of course, it's great to love other children.
Right.
Because there's a proverb about that says it takes a village to raise a child. I mean, when I was growing up, everybody in the neighborhood was my mother. If I did something wrong, I'm talking about the women that lived there.
All the mothers would spank.
Every one of them. That's right. My mother gave them the permission to spank me. And then when I got home, I got another one. So, yes, I mean, it's great to be able to love other children. But in this respect, it's telling, amen, the biblical definition of what a woman, a true woman of God should look like, that they should love their own husband and love their own children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, if we keep it in that context, again, you're talking about a good biblical mother, a mother that really loves God, and if they love God, of course, they're going to do right. She's going to be a cornerstone, a leaning post, not only for the children, but sometimes for the husband. I don't know about you, but I need my wife in so many ways to be able to help me with certain things, and I thank God that she's there because she's the mother of my children, and many a times when she gives me advice, it reminds me of the advice that my mother gave me a long time ago, even though she's no longer here. So I thank God for that opportunity to be able to experience the love of godly women.
Amen. I'm looking at an article, Dr. Davis. It's in the May issue of Decision Magazine. The title of the article is The War on Womanhood. I'm going to read one paragraph. It's a lengthy paragraph, but I'll take a moment. Our world is at war with God. It is bent on defying His holiness, His commands, and even His created order. One of the most destructive ways this war plays out is in the distortion of gender, and women are often the ones who bear the brunt of the consequences. Our culture demeans women. It devalues their ability to birth and nourish life. It discredits their decisions to choose family roles and dishonors their specific gender-endowed abilities. This attack on womanhood has assaulted society's basic structure of sanity and reason. It has killed common sense. It's created hostility, disgust, injury, destruction, and even death. It has invaded our schools, our hospitals, businesses, locker rooms, churches, sports arenas, and government. Without parents' knowledge or permission, gender identity curricula are indoctrinating our students, affirming and even celebrating gender alternative procedures such as surgical mutilation, puberty blockers, and damaging hormone therapies, all of which are often irreversible. On top of all of this, so-called transgender women, biological males who have tried to transition to a female identity, have been given unsupervised entrance into girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, and other traditionally female areas. Further in the article, it states, today's gender-destroying trends have put the mere definition womanhood up for grabs. In March 2022, Tennessee Senator Marshall Blackburn asked the Supreme Court nominee, Kahaja Brown Jackson, can you provide a definition for the word woman? Jackson appeared confused and could not, end quote. I think this is very fitting for Mother's Day, especially in May and the May issue of Decision Magazine. But in a transitional thought, Dr. Davis, I enjoy and have always enjoyed what is said by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 about young Timothy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, speaking to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. So what we see in that text, ladies and gentlemen, is a Christian godly grandmother and a godly Christian mother that's transmitting the truths of God's word.
Amen.
To young
Amen.
Timothy. And when you study the scripture further, you find, ladies and gentlemen, in the text that is very, very helpful and beneficial, that it is transmitted there. And then Timothy talks about the fact that what he has learned from a child upward, and the word there is the word brephos, meaning an infant, how he has learned the scripture. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, and there's some statistical data out there through the Barna Report that says that out of the children growing up, about 70% of them say that they get their faith and their interest in spiritual things from the mother.
Amen.
It's the mother. I can recall, Dr. Davis, with my mother reading the scripture to us at night, and I can just see her now in her old rocking chair, rocking and singing gospel hymns, and then reading the scripture to us at night as we would go to bed. That is needful and necessary, I believe, and it's a missing element even today in relationship to what is found. And I go back to one that's been my favorite about motherhood and about mothers, found in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 is a wonderful, wonderful text in relationship to that which is real motherhood. Real motherhood talks about the rarity of a godly woman. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're where you can, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to read two or three verses and talk about it very briefly in relationship to what the Scripture says in that realm. Proverbs 31, dropping down to about verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, my bride can tell you, I've called that Miss Far Above Rubies. And that's my bride, Miss Far Above Rubies. For every godly mother, there should be a godly father that says, thank you, thank you,
Amen.
Thank you for
Amen.
That. In this text, by the way, in Proverbs, it points out the godly mother and the rarity.
Amen.
The scripture says, who can find it? It's rare to find one. Godly mothers, who can find a virtuous woman?
And then when you look at that godly mother, Dr. Youngblood, like you said, money can't pay for the love that she pours out upon you.
That's right, absolutely.
In fact, that's a common saying in the world, that money can't buy love. But when you look at that mother's love, that deep love that she has for her own home and family, a great homemaker. That's what it sounded like that Proverbs 31 woman was. She seeketh wool and flax, and with her hands she began to make things. My mother could sew. She had a sewing machine, one of the old Singer sewing machines that you had to, You had to wind it by hand first. Yeah. And take that old foot, that old
foot
thing
pedal.
Operated.
Foot pedal.
Mama could sew anything. I still have a homemade quilt at my house right now. That's better than any quilt that you could buy out of any stores today. That my mother made by hand. That's my favorite piece of cover sometimes, especially in the wintertime. Amen. When I get a little bit cold, I turn the heater down low so I could be cold. And then I grab that quilt and I snuggle up under that quilt and I start thinking about the good times.
That reminds, that reminds me, Dr. Davis, and I wouldn't have thought of this had you not mentioned that, the first white shirt that I had to wear was the remnants of a worn-out bed sheet that my mother cut and sewed together and made a white shirt for me to wear to church. It was through her love for the kids, the children in the home, that she worked and carried it out. And it's the reason the text is so meaningful to me in the Proverbs 31 text. Who can find a virtuous woman? That points out the rarity. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's not saying, it's not trying to demean mothers in any fashion, but it talks about the rarity. And the word virtuous there, who can find a virtuous woman?
Amen.
That word virtuous means noble in character, excellent, capable, strong. And who can find, indicating the rarity. As you said earlier, it's not unusual for a woman to give birth. She becomes a mother in that process. But there's a vast difference in just being a mother, biologically speaking, that gave birth, but one that loves and cares for and takes care of the family. That's the scripture talking about the virtuous woman.
Amen.
And the richness that you find in that, it says in that 10th verse in Proverbs 31, for her price, her value, her worth is far above rubies.
Exceeds the value. Amen. It does. And you know, when I, and again, Dr. Youngblood, your mother and my mother, I'm sure, they had the same kind of love for the home and the family.
That's right. Absolutely.
I know my mother could take what we call nothing. When we look at food, I'm just going to use food, for example.
Yeah.
Some of those things you thought, man, I don't know what we can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But mother would take that and she'd put a twist on it and make a gourmet meal out of that. And you'd lick your fingers, your toes, your everything.
That's right.
Because of how she could put that spin on that food.
Absolutely.
And I still think about that, especially Christmas time, all the holidays. We had people from all over the neighborhood wanting to come just to sample my mother's fruitcake.
Yes.
I don't know anybody else can make a fruitcake like that today. I don't eat fruitcake out of stores right now because my mother has spoiled me.
Yes.
But there are many things that I can think about that mother did. Amen. And I'm sure you that are listening on today, if you're hearing me today, go to your mother and love them. Please.
Right.
Put your arms around her and love her while you have a chance.
Absolutely. Well stated, and I second that motion, if you will.
Amen.
I am thankful for my mother. I'm thankful for the privilege of the family that God has given us. And by the way, you talked about taking what seemed to be nothing and making something out of it. I can recall, and my bride will tell you, that the boys growing up would go to the refrigerator and say, we don't have anything there in there to eat. Well, they couldn't see the bits and the pieces and the parts, and she would bring it all together and make a meal. They'd say, Nancy, where did you get this?
My.
It's amazing, and it's because the love, and that love is as a result of that mother's heart being sold out to Jesus Christ.
And then she'd take the leftover, Dr. Youngblood, the same leftover from that meal that day, and put another twist on it, and you think you was eating a different type of food.
That's right.
But you just ate that yesterday.
A fresh meal. Absolutely.
My God. What a blessing.
This Proverbs 31 woman, though, it's a godly mother, a godly woman. We find her rarity. Who can find a virtuous woman? We find her richness, for her price is far above rubies. That's rare. You can take the best rubies in the world, and it will not outpace the value of a virtuous, godly
Amen.
Mother, according to the Scripture.
Amen.
There's the reliability that I find in that 11th verse in Proverbs 31. Her heart, of the heart of her husband, doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil.
Amen.
A godly mother is reliable, is trustworthy, and supportive of her husband and her family before the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our dialogue and discussion today as we talk about Mother's Day and a new pope and false teachers. We're going to take a break now for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back. Right after the news.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park.